Radio.
Hey guys, Kurt Brownoler here, without Joe DeRosa, and my God, it feels so good. Finally, free of the shackles of Joe. But I'm here to just let you know that this episode is it's one from the vaults, guys. If there's a very small vault that is non-existent. But this was this is an episode we recorded many, many, many months ago. Before actually Emotional Hangs was a podcast on its own, but when it was still part of my previous podcast. And this is with Georgia Hardstark, Karen Kilgariff, hosts that you now well know of My Favorite Murder. But this was right back when My Favorite Murder, I think, had just gotten started. And so we got to talk to them about their friendship, how they met, how they decided they were going to be adult friends together. It's a great episode, and we figured it deserved to be aired again for any new listeners to the Emotional Hangs podcast. In case you missed it when this first came out, I don't know, it might have even been a year ago. But please, guys, enjoy it. And next week, we'll be back with an all-new Heart to Heart with me and Joe, just really getting into some stuff about my lost brother, his lost parents. The whole thing's going to become very exciting and interesting. And I hope you enjoy this week's episode, though. See ya.
Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it. Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand. Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it.
Yeah.
That's Joe.
Back in the house. Kurt Brownoler back.
Just two buds. Just two adults talking about friendship. Just opening up to each other.
I look, man, I got to be honest. You've been out of town for a few months.
Yeah.
And I've missed this.
I've missed this.
I've missed us. I've missed having these kinds of talks. I don't have them with everybody.
I really don't have them. I have them maybe with one other person, but you're really the only person I see physically, you know?
I'd say you're probably the only one. Well, because it's a podcast, but yeah. You're probably the only person that I sit down and, besides for my mom,
yeah,
you know, that I sit down and have conversations like this with. But I was thrilled that when you got back to town, and I have no problem saying, a credit to our friendship, I was very flattered that you texted me and you were like, I just got back.
Let's hang out.
Like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's really nice.
It's also, I think when you go away too, when you, like, I feel like you and I are both new to LA and we're new friends. And then you just kind of like, it becomes a new normal to like be in this town and be like new friends. And then when you go away from it, you realize what you missed, you know? This show's all about getting vulnerable with each other. But I think, you know, because I was back in New York because my mom is sick, and you were just really great and reaching out to me, and I didn't take advantage of it very often. I don't think I texted you a lot, or I didn't call you, almost because of the fact that I just didn't want to talk about it.
Sure,
you know,
yeah, of course.
But the fact that you called me repeatedly and texted me just to check in, it means a lot, man.
Oh well, dude, man, that's nice to hear you say that. But you know, it's what you do. You know what I mean? It was like my pleasure, and I'd gone through a similar situation with my mom, where I had to leave New York. This is before I knew you, really, but I had to leave New York, and I spent 2 or 3 months in the Philadelphia area as my mom was going through operations and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough. It means a lot. I remember that it meant a lot to me when people called to check in, and it also meant a lot to me when people just called to just be friendly.
Yeah.
And, like, acted like nothing was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, that, too, is really nice, you know?
Because sometimes you just don't want to rehash the banally horrible details over and over and over again. You just want to have a funny chat.
Yeah, it's yeah. You're like, I wish somebody would call me and just insult me right now,
yeah,
or make fun of me, or tell me a stupid story, whatever it is. So I totally got. It was weird. The one weird thing about it was I wanted to call and be like your buddy, but I also wanted to call and show you that I gave a shit. So it was, that's a tricky balance, I guess, to find. Like where you're like, I remember sitting the first time I reached out to you. I remember sitting there and being like, I don't know. What do you say? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Should I not say anything? No, I have to say something. But then he's going to be thinking about it, and he probably doesn't want to think about it.
I know. It is a really tough thing. And I decided in that time, I think I was going through a lot right first finding out, and you get... It's like an anger. I think it's like the levels of acceptance, you know? Like, I was angry at first, you know? And I think I came up with an idea that I think I'm going to apply in the future when other people are going through a situation like this, is you just say, I'm so sorry. And then that's it.
Right.
You know, you don't go any further. There was definitely people who would be like, give me examples of something that was bad for them with right. their parent, but then they got better. Do you know what I mean? That, like, any more information runs the risk of, because you don't know the details of the person suffering.
Know.
Any other details runs the risk of just making it worse. Do you know what I mean? Like, because when at first we found out, the prognosis was very grim, and then other people would try and make me feel better, but be like, hey man, you know, that happened to my mom, and you get, and guess what, she got better. And I was like, well that's not happening in this fucking situation.
Yeah,
so I don't need your fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I was just really angry about it.
That's interesting. I thought of that very thing. I was like, when I call Kurt, I don't want to mention anybody in my family.
Yeah.
That's been down this road, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, whatever the outcome of any other person was, it could have a negative effect on him right now, and he doesn't need to hear it. So,
yeah.
Like, that's interesting, man. Like, it's like,
it's literally just, it's, you know, I talked to Eugene about this, and he was just saying, it's about showing up. It's about being an adult. Do you know what I mean? Showing up is important. It's nothing needs to else be done. The showing up is the important part. And like, showing up can mean texting or calling. Do you know what I mean? But just being like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I wish, did you get any of this when you were home? Because this surprised me. I was shocked at how many, when I was with my mom, how many people called and said, dude, it's so great what you're doing. Like, saying it in this way where it was like, wait, but wouldn't you do this?
People definitely were like, well, I think also people have different relationships with their mom. And so are your parents together, or is it?
Yeah, they're married.
Yeah, they are. And so for me, it was just me and my mom growing up. And people definitely said that to me, like, wow, you're a really good son. And it's just like, oh, who doesn't do this?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And I think it just is the difference between, there's people who don't have good relationships with their parents, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
a
if
good
it's
point.
Like, I can totally understand that, just being like, this is a really complicated, kind of fucked up situation. I don't want to go and get into that now. You know, I can understand that, not in my situation. I'm like, there, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But well, yeah, people definitely said that. And I was like, oh, it is also, they're trying to be nice. Everybody's trying to be nice. It's just interpreted. It's just such a tricky situation. And also, I think there's a level of there's a level of selfishness that comes out when you're going through like deep tragedy.
Sure. Yeah.
Where you're just like, you feel like no one can understand it. And the actual truth of the situation is that tragedy and horror are the most common things in the world.
Yeah.
And that everyone actually has had similar situations to you, but you don't want to hear that at that time.
No, no. Yeah. You never want to hear anything from the outside. And,
no.
And, you know,
you feel like a moody teenager. You don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. It's like, no, we actually, everybody went through that.
Yeah. Yeah. And people, I've been in situations where somebody in my family is, something terrible is happening. And then somebody that I'm friends with, something equally terrible is happening to somebody in their family, and I've like still felt like, but mine's worse. Mine's worse,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not worse. It's obviously it's different. But you're like you said, there's this weird this weird emotional like selfishness that comes out a little bit.
And I think that happens in the beginning, you know, and then, you know, humans are just so good at normalizing extreme circumstances that now it's like the new normal and everything has settled down more now. So it's not this emotional ride every single day.
Yeah.
And so now you got, you're able to have some perspective, but when you're in that, when you're in the shit, like you can't.
Well, I think, you know,
I'd love that you just burped and blew it out the side of your mouth.
Well, they don't know what you're talking about because Kurt's referring to something I say during an interview we do with our guest today. But
you're hearing this part first. You've called me out on it before in previous podcasts that I burp. I burp and keep it in my mouth and then I blow it out the side of my mouth, as Joe said, like a corncob pipe.
Yeah. As you'll hear.
And he just did it, and so I have to call him out on it.
Kurt burps blowjob style.
A real thin, tiny
He takes
dick.
It into his mouth and holds it there and then turns his head and sort of gets rid of it on to the side.
I find it to be very polite. It's a polite way to belch.
It's a polite way to get rid of jizz. Probably, right? That would be the most polite way.
Oh, you follow that up with probably.
I would think. Before we get into the interview and everything, you know, you had said the thing about saying the best thing to say is I'm so sorry. And Eugene saying you showing up is what the trick is. The best thing that was ever said to me in terms of that, you know, in these terms or whatever, was I remember when my mom got sick, Nikki Glaser called me and she left me a voicemail and she said, I heard about what you're going through. I'm very sorry. And I hope you're doing as well as you could be doing given this situation.
Yeah.
And that last part particularly was like what really stuck with me. And I was like, wow, that's like the most eloquent thing I could think to say.
Yeah.
And I've said it ever since then, like when somebody's going through a tough time, you know, it's just like, hey, dude, I know it's tough. I hope you're doing as well as you can be.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's a very understanding statement.
Yeah. Because you don't want to call somebody and be like, hey, man, bet you're bummed, right?
Yeah. No, you don't want to say bet you're bummed and like, hope you're doing great. You know?
Yeah.
Because you do want them to be doing great, but you can't say, I hope you're doing great.
I mean, you're managing to have some fun, right?
Hope you're kicking back and just having some coldies. All right, let's get into introducing. So we have for the first time ever on Emotional Hangs, we've actually opened it up. We have some guests.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And so since it's been a sausage party from the get-go with Joe and I, we've really only been talking about our friendship, which is a male friendship. And so we figured, what about a new adult female relationship?
Yeah.
New friendship, just burgeoning like a delicate little flower. Let's take that flower, put it under a microscope, see if we can break it.
And that's what happens.
So we have two fantastic guests, Karen Kilgariff.
Yes. The wonderful Karen Kilgariff of Mr. Show fame and many, 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 many amazing writing teams. And
also she was just, I think, multiple times that her and her comedy partner, Drennan Davis, have been on Conan playing music and making laughs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we also have Georgia.
Georgia Hardstark of Ally and Georgia fame.
Yes.
As well as writing her own book as well.
Yes, and a lot of Food Network stuff.
Yeah, huge. And it's actually interesting that both of our guests are in duos themselves.
That is...
And they're adult friendship duos.
I didn't put that together literally till you just said that.
Yeah.
Which means I didn't put it together. It was told to me. But I didn't understand that until just now.
But yeah, regardless, we find out a little bit about their relationship, how they're becoming friends. And we do try and put the microscope up to it and see if there's any cracks.
Yes, absolutely. So enjoy it. We had a great time talking to them. We hope you like listening to it.
You want to get your little head, your earphones
I'm
on?
I'm not gonna wear the earphones.
Ooh, somebody's a renegade.
It's too hot. It's too hot.
Hot for earphones.
I don't like wearing earphones.
They're not called earphones, are they? I just realized that.
Headphones.
Yeah.
No. Well, we mixed up earplugs and earphones. Do we need to brief Karen and Georgia on anything?
I don't think so. I think we just get into it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
You're our first ever guests.
I know, first ever guests on
really?
Emotional Hangs.
Wait, how new is this podcast?
Oh, it's been a few months.
Oh, okay.
Not long. We only do it every 2 months or something. So, like,
it's maybe a year old at this point.
Non-committal.
Maybe like the sixth or seventh episode, I think.
But you've only been hanging with each other up to this point.
Yeah.
Well,
it's been real navel gazy up until this point. It's just us talking about our friendship.
Yes.
It started because we've told the story before on the podcast, but it started because Kurt and I didn't really ever hang out till we both lived in LA. So it was a newer friendship. And then one night we were at a party and he had a few drinks and he kept faking like he was going to punch me.
Wow.
And then I would flinch and he would hug me and be like, "Stop it, buddy. I would never hurt you."
That's so cute.
And it was really sincere. Yeah, I know.
And that's not cute.
And then when he left, he went, "We have emotional hangs." And then he walked away. And then the next day I told him and he was like, that should be a podcast. So then we figured out, oh, it's about friends.
Yeah.
Nice.
I love that. That is like I really want to be vulnerable with you, but I can't. So I'm going to pretend to punch you. So I really want to hug you.
Yeah.
I'm getting into this.
It's male friendship, guys.
Yeah.
So how did you guys, how long have you been friends and when did, well, yeah, tell us your story first. The origin story of friendship.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty great.
Is it?
It all circles around Joe.
Your mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all about Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Did I help you guys get together?
Well, we met at your house.
At your housewarming party.
Jesus, that's right.
But I knew about you before that.
I knew about you before that.
Because we have so many mutual friends.
Yeah.
And all the people at your housewarming were people that most of them I either didn't know or just knew a little bit or knew purely from hearing stories in the Pete Holmes writing room.
Right.
But there's many people where I felt like I already was like Vince, your fiance. I heard so many stories about those guys that when I met them, I was like, "Hi!"
Yeah.
But they were like, "Hi, nice to meet you." It was really embarrassing.
But we didn't, on your Thanksgiving party is when we really started talking, right?
Yes. Yes.
I do think I remember your first hangout together taking place after Thanksgiving, you know, like you were like, "We're getting lunch." And I remember feeling like a matchmaker. Almost,
yeah.
You know?
Totally. I think I was like, "Guess what? Joe, Karen and I are going to be friends." I'm a friend.
Did you guys decide that second time you hung out that you guys were going to be friends? Or was it like later?
Well, I decided I was going to be friends with Georgia when I showed up at Joe's Thanksgiving and I had smoked too much pot. So I had a lot of neuroses happening. I thought it'd be fun to cook in the morning and smoke pot. And it was the worst idea.
Yeah.
To then go to kind of a semi-formal holiday with people who I was either medium friends with or zero friends with.
It was just stressful.
It was a very stressful situation.
Yeah.
And all the girls had cute outfits on and there was all kinds of things going on with me. And so there's an author that I love named Brené Brown, who is very famous for a TED talk she did about vulnerability, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's what your thing is about.
Yeah.
So I went there and gave Joe like my mashed potatoes and was like all stiff and weird and uncomfortable. And we all kind of sat in his living room and people
were
having drinks.
It was so awkward. And I have a really hard time with like eating quietly. Is a big fucking like thing for me. I can't do it. Like I'll ask people the stupidest questions just to get them to talk while we're eating.
Oh, not eating. Not like.
No.
She has to gobble things down.
I just am gross.
We played that game too. Didn't we play that game like that word?
Well,
yes.
As we were sitting there, yeah. Georgia just shouted, everybody needs to say, we need to get vulnerable. Yeah. Everybody needs to say one thing that makes them feel vulnerable. And everyone kind of looked at her like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, it was it was very awkward.
But for me, across the room, I was like, oh my God, like, it's my girl. So I was like, I just pointed at her. I'm like, Brene Brown.
I was in the middle of that book when I said that.
Really?
I was like, this is so true about being vulnerable. But also, I just, like, everyone was shoving turkey in their face. And I was so, like, I was eating in silence and really uncomfortable because nobody was talking.
There was that weird silence.
I love this, that you organized a very nice thing and then everybody came over and quietly ate.
Yeah.
And you must have just been like, this was a horrible idea.
I remember, like, the third time somebody said how delicious the food was, I was like, oh man, this is not going very well.
You compliment, like, hey, who made the sweet potatoes? They're so good.
Oh. Yeah, I was like, this is a weird, this is not, this is feels
oh,
weird.
I couldn't. So yeah. I was like, let's all be vulnerable.
So did that work? Did the vulnerability thing work?
Well, I think then
work?
Karen and I started talking.
Yeah, it worked for us, yeah. But I don't think anyone else did it. Uh-uh. Maybe Glynis did it.
Right, because it was like Vince, who's just is quiet sometimes, and Jesse Pop, who's like doesn't speak sometimes. Everyone was being fucking quiet.
Matt was talking, but he can't do it for everybody.
Sure.
Right. No, I know, and I'm not really good at that sort of thing, so I'm glad that you yelled that, because I'm good at one-on-one. Being social one-on-one or doing comedy from a stage, I can't. In a situation like that, I don't know how to do, like, the host.
Right. Well, I always figure I'm the only person who has, like, I always have to be like, okay, Georgia, like, not everyone is uncomfortable. It's okay, in my head.
But it was that magic number of too few people for it to feel like a party, but still enough people where we knew it was a party. But it was like, and most of you guys see each other constantly, so it was just that weird, like, there was a formality to it that made me it made me crazy.
Well, you were high and paranoid too, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well,
that was
the
secret.
Pat Walsh was there too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was the other sort of odd man out of the group that didn't know anybody yet.
Right.
He didn't know you guys yet. And do you remember I kept yelling at him to drink and he wouldn't drink?
Yeah.
I kept going like, just do shots with me.
Oh, Joe.
And at one point he was like, stop it, Joe. But it was,
there's Joe just pouring alcohol on top of awkward social situations until they're no longer.
Yeah, I mean, totally works.
One way to go.
100%. It works as well as how pot makes it awkward.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And
I don't drink anymore. So that was, I was thinking that was my solution.
Right.
Right.
As if, like, knowing full well it was no solution whatsoever.
So how did it evolve?
What was it? When did you guys decide, like, oh, this is, so that for you that was like right away, like, I'm going to be friends with her?
Yeah. Yeah. She just seemed like my, also there was really loud burping that was going on that was making me laugh so hard. And it was just this kind, it felt to me like you were going, like, you were burping into the silence. Like, fine, if you're not going to talk, I'll make this sound.
Listen, I have gastrointestinal issues and I also love belching and I'm really good at it. But Karen ended up sending me a Twitter message like, hey, I'm going to be vulnerable and do you want to be friends? And then I thought you hated me because I was belching all night and I like took Vince aside. And sometimes I do this because I get uncomfortable too. And I'm like, am I being okay? Like, am I being weird? Am I okay? Just to get like validation that I'm not being a fucking social moron. And he's like, yo, you're doing great. Everything's fine. You should probably stop belching so much. And then I wanted to die and I thought everyone hated me.
That's so funny.
That's actually a good note also from being on the male side of a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
That if my wife comes to me and is like, is everything okay? Just say, yes, it's all fine.
It's so good.
And never say,
but then Glynis out of nowhere belched really loud and I was like, thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah.
But then I told Karen,
I love that this was a thing at the party. How much you were burping.
He said it also, in the sweetest way too.
If you can burp while we're doing the podcast at some point, I think we'd all appreciate it.
I'll try. I'm really good at it.
Just naturally if it comes up, you know.
Don't force yourself.
I don't want you to hurt anything.
Don't force it. It has to be sincere.
It has to be sincere.
Sierra Nevada.
I'll try.
Now, did the now here's what I want to know. Then, since that was a meeting, an icebreaker. Well, the belching, I feel like, was a thing that you shared internally in some way. You really enjoyed it much more than you thought anybody did, and you enjoyed the belching, and everybody liked it. But my point is like, because that sort of prefaced the first hangout. Was your first alone hangout like pretty like just okay? We could just kind of go for this now.
Or was it awkward in any way?
It was never. You know what I mean? It was like a. It was the best. We've met. And I think I was nervous. We were probably both nervous.
Yeah, I mean, because it does feel weird to be an adult and totally. Be like, I'm going to meet a new friend for lunch.
Yeah.
Because we went to the 101 for lunch.
Like, I'm hoping that we become friends and are friends. Like, that's what you're hoping is that you're just, like, buddies for life and not, like, you never speak again or, like, see awkwardly at a party. And like, hey, we should hang out again.
Yeah.
So we went to the 101 and ended up having, like, a five-hour
for
lunch.
Real?
For real?
Yes.
You stayed at that place for 5 hours.
Five hours. Yeah.
That's
we just
amazing.
Kept drinking
quietly.
Coffee. Yeah. We were tipped well. I mean, we weren't.
Vince took me there once and was like, this is where Karen and Georgia always go.
Oh my God, it's our place.
Because they let you sit there.
Yeah, they let you.
For as long as you want.
So how long ago was that?
That was like a year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Well, because two Thanksgivings ago, right?
But then that's a year and a half.
Yeah. It was not last Thanksgiving. It was the one before that. So, yeah, a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
So do you find it difficult to, make time for a new friendship? Like, I find that to be difficult.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yes.
You know, because if you don't see each other for a while, then all of a sudden, like, actually, the podcast has strengthened our friendship, I think, because of the fact that we have to get together and do it.
Forced hangs.
Yeah, I forget, too, that because I take everything personally because the world revolves around me. But I forget that, like, Kurt and I don't have the same life. And, like, sometimes I'll be like, do you want to hang out? And then, like, he can't for a while. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, he's, like, married. Like, he has, like, a whole other life. Like, he's not sitting in his house staring at his dog.
specifically, thinking, I have to make sure I don't see Joe. Right. How do I avoid Joe?
I go to a giant post, a giant calendar I have on my wall and just put another X that just said, didn't see Joe today.
I got away with it again.
But and then a frowny face when I have to see him.
Oh my God.
Bummer.
I feel like the minute when I had that 5 hour conversation with Karen, like, this is how I am. And I'm like, well, we're best friends now. And even if I don't see you for months, like, no, we're best friends. Like, I haven't seen her, your wife, in like months, but I'm like, no, we're really close. But like, we haven't spoken or like vaguely tweeted or texted each other.
Yeah.
But I'm still.
But that's what a real friendship is. It can pick up right where it left off. And I've noticed this is exciting as we're talking about all this because you two came together. Your fiance Vince, who's one of my closest friends, also became tight with Pat because of that party. I'm friends with you. You're friends with them. I mean, I feel like everybody I consider like a good person in this city is like in somehow connected to the same group.
It's
of
all
people.
You, Joe.
Yeah, it's all you. I mean, to bring it back to Joe. If it wasn't for you just having that Thanksgiving party.
Yeah. You really do, Joe. Like, you facilitate more hangouts than I ever had before you came to town. Like, really.
I love a hangout.
Yeah.
You love a good hang.
I love a good hang.
Well, and you, that's how I felt. Like, I felt going to that Thanksgiving party like I was entering into this pre-established big group of friends, like a New York comic-based group of friends that I was kind of new to. So part of that was my, like, that idea that I had to go in and kind of, like, it was a, you know, a make new friends situation.
And it was, but it was for me, too. I didn't know everybody that well at that point, either. I mean, I hung out with them.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, I never hung out with Vince and Jesse back in New York, or Matt, even. You know, Matt and I didn't become friends until we worked together on the show.
Really?
We were friendly. Like, we would have these random nights where we would hang out, but, like, we never talked on the phone. Nothing like that.
Oh, I pictured you all, like, lived in the same apartment building.
No.
It was like a sorority.
The New York Comedy Apartments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody just...
I think that's part of the reason that I'm, like, I can be calm down and be vulnerable at our parties. I think everyone thinks that, and I don't think it's true for any case. Like, you probably thought Glennis and I were, like, super tight.
Yeah.
Stuff, and we don't really, we had never really talked that much. I just think that everyone goes in thinking, like, I'm the odd man out, especially when you get high and you're paranoid when you're high, which I totally am.
Look, I'm working on it.
No, I totally, yeah.
What I like to do at a party is just to reinforce that feeling. I'll go and mouth kiss everyone except for one person at the party. And then I won't talk to them for the rest of the night.
And point at them
from across the room.
Just whispering to someone else.
Couldn't kiss them.
Couldn't do it.
That's so funny.
And I think with Karen, it's also, this is me being my alcoholic self, is that she doesn't drink. So it's hard to be like, do you want to hang? What do you do when you don't drink and you hang out? Like, I can't ask you to go get a drink.
Right.
So I feel like it's been an even better friendship because we just go eat and drink coffee.
Yeah.
We don't get drunk.
Yeah. You have to have your thing you do outside of drinking.
Yeah.
You know, I think every friendship has the one self-destructive thing that the people do together, even if it's just laying around and watching movies or something like that. But every friendship has that one core thing, you know, but you have to have the thing outside. I think this is our constructive.
Our constructive and everything else is destructive.
You know, but you got to have that thing, like, you know, like I go record shopping with Vince. Like,
right.
That's not bar hopping.
Totally.
So you got to have that thing outside of that.
Well,
so,
we do that now. We have a podcast.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Tell us all about the podcast.
It's called My Favorite Murder, and it was another bonding moment. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, maybe that was the first bonding moment at Matt's Halloween party, where we just basically realized at the same time, I was telling my horribly morbid story of when I witnessed a terrible car accident at South by Southwest, where a guy drove up a blocked off street.
Holy shit.
And plowed through people. And I oftentimes will tell a story like that because I'm trying to elicit the reaction of, like, ooh, what a life you've led type of thing. Right. And I always forget people are drunk and high, so most of the time they kind of go a little white and, like, wander away. Like, there's definitely, I started that story and there's a couple people that I severely bummed out. Like, they had to just get away. But I turned to look at Georgia and her eyes were like anime happy glowing eyes. And I was like, oh, hello, friend. Like, she
and
was
I was
all
like, tell me more.
Details. I want to hear every word. And then I was like, yes.
That's
and then
so
we started
funny.
Talking about the staircase, that horrible, awful, amazing murder story.
Yes.
And then we just found out we're both obsessed with true crime.
I don't know the staircase murder.
Oh, it's a series you have to watch.
It's oh, it's like a series. Oh, okay. I thought.
It was like pre-Jinx.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of the first true crime series everybody went
to. So you guys just talk about murders that happened?
Our favorite murders.
Our favorite ones.
Have you guys talked about the Los Feliz house yet?
No, but we should.
Okay.
What?
It's great...
Yeah, tell her.
It's an amazing story. So it was this guy, and it's right around the corner from, like, it's right in Los Feliz. You can walk there. So the guy on Christmas Eve murdered his whole family.
In, like, the 70s,
In the 70s, and they shut the house down. And
someone
was
telling me about this.
And it was just preserved.
The same.
And so you can still go and look through the windows, and there's a Christmas tree with presents underneath it. It's just...
What?
Yes.
And everything's, like, a TV set from the 50s. It's just no one ever went back inside the house.
Wait, did you tell me about that?
So it was purchased. It was purchased by one person who never went in, and then it was purchased by another person who never went in.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
So they both... Do you think that they both were, like, kind of morbid weirdos that wanted to keep it the
way
it was?
I don't know why. I think it was family. Yeah. I think the family was just like, we don't want to ever step foot in this house.
Yeah.
And so it was just left after it was a crime scene.
And I think it's, like, tended to by the gardeners come, and it's not like a overgrown house.
It's also now very difficult to peek through the windows because the neighbors are real nosy. I mean, we're the nosy ones trying to speak onto private property, but they're real nosy watching me try to do that.
Yeah.
There's also the La Bianca's house mm-hmm. in Los Feliz that the Manson family killed the first couple.
That was in Los Feliz.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What's it, La Ciela Drive or La Ciela
something like
that? Oh, man, I want to go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, also, I was writing on something in the fall, and we were up in, like, Laurel Canyon, and that was where all the... What's that movie with John Holmes where that
crazy... Oh, the Sunland.
Yeah. Yeah. Something land, right?
Yeah.
So here's a question for both of you. Has there been, like, so Joe and I in past episodes have talked about rough spots that we've gone through in friendships. Yeah. Like, for instance, like one time... How did it work out? Like, I didn't invite you to my wife's birthday party.
Oh, Your wife had a birthday.
Remember this?
I was out. Actually, the way I found out was I was out with Vince in Georgia downtown the night before, and Vince goes, you going to Brownaller's thing tomorrow, man? And I was like, I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, and I started freaking out, and Vince started going, my man, this is an oversight. I'm sure of it. I'm sure you're invited to this thing. It's just an oversight. And I was like, you're right. And then I texted you, and you were like, no, you're not. You're like, it's just Lauren's friends and couples.
Yeah, it was ladies. She was only inviting ladies. Then I was like, well, I don't know how to. It was just weird. I should have just been like, come. But instead, I like kind of was like, no, I can't. I can't do that. It was Lauren's call. You know, she didn't invite yourself.
And Joe has the most tender self-esteem that it was just like, you just went into a spiral.
Yeah, but we talked it through.
Yeah, we did talk it through.
And it was a bonding moment, really.
And I misspoke. It wasn't the night before. It was the week before. And then, because I remember when I texted you about it to be like, what the fuck, man? Your response was, oh, fuck you, dude. I'm taping TV right now. And I felt like, the naggiest, like housewife. Like, it just put me like in this, I felt terrible.
Oh, so, that's so did mean. You react that way because you felt bad?
I was giving him shit. I think I was giving him shit. Because also our text relationship is very... like fake aggressive with each other, you know? And so it was fake aggressive, but I think because he was already a little hurt, it came off as real aggressive to him. But to me, I meant it as a joke, you know?
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself and your feelings, essentially.
Because in my family, if someone's mad at you, the solution is you get madder back at them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if someone's like, you really hurt my feelings, it's like, well, your fucking feelings don't matter. Or, totally. You know what I mean? You have to just top it instead of going like, oh, let's talk about it.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah.
That seemed very familiar to me. Yeah.
So the question for the two of you is, has there been any moment where you guys were, there was a concern or there was a rough patch or someone felt slighted, even if it's a simple slight on a text waiting too long or something like that?
We don't tell each other those things. I think women don't confront each other with their feelings ever.
Well, this is a safe place.
This is a safe place.
Karen, that's like the whole point.
It's time to unload it.
If you want to.
Karen, go.
Well, you know what's funny is I think we're both so... I think the closest I can say is that there's been times where we just haven't talked to each other, say, for like a week.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in my mind, I'm like, I'm bugging her, right, or she doesn't want to be this much friends with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's that thing, like, I'm getting it wrong.
And I think I'm bad at sometimes responding. I think I get overwhelmed by life and like don't look at texts for the day because I can't. And then I haven't responded. And then I'm like, oh, my God, she thinks I hate her.
Right.
So,
But anytime I've even had the feeling of it or the concern, then like within a day or two she'll be like, what's going on, you know? Like, it, she'll come back. So it's never been, it's always felt very internal and kind of like my, I think I've mismanaged a lot of friendships, and then so it's that kind of thing of like, now in making them,
right,
especially when I pick people that I know are like good, that I want to make sure I stay friends with, that I do it in that way where like you don't overhang, you don't you seem needy, you don't seem distant.
So do you apply kind, is it similar to the way you treat like dating? Like when like where it's just like, I don't want to text to three times in a row without a response or something like that. Like, are there rules that you have for yourself?
I would say in dating, I feel the best way to do that is to act like you hate the person. So no, I would never treat Georgia the way I would treat someone I was dating, ever.
Oh.
I think more because we started on that Brene Brown vulnerability thing, I feel like, it's too late. She has to, if I go like, I feel this or that, she's there to go, I'm hearing what you're feeling. Like, any, I think
we
any
say
time.
A lot to each other, I'm going to be vulnerable right now. Or thank you for being vulnerable. Like, as a joke, but seriously.
But kind of real.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it helps. I mean, I think qualifying the statements helps.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're owning your own statement. Yeah. You're owning your feelings, and it makes it okay. Like, you know, if you don't qualify it a lot of the time and just kind of blurt it out.
Right.
You look like a, you know.
I
can't just walk up to somebody and be like,
this is your responsibility.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Here
exactly.
you go.
I heard on the inside. Wait, should I have told you that I was going to open up?
Well, because either it makes the friendship connect, or there are some certain people who would be like, I'm not dealing with this shit. I don't. This is not how I do it.
And I love people in crisis, so I'm like all over it. When someone's like, I'm having a thing, freak out. I'm like, great, let's talk about it.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine? I have certain friendships where I can't imagine there ever being an argument. Like, is that this kind of friendship, or is this? Do you think it could go there at some point?
How'd we argue? I'd be scared to argue with you.
I wouldn't. The one time I was late, because I'm always 20 minutes late everything, and the one time I was late for lunch, George didn't even really say anything directly. It was just this kind of thing where I was like, I'm never going to do that again. Because it was just like, it was just a bit of like, It wasn't like, she wasn't mad. It didn't ruin anything. Like the friendship. But I just, as I sat down, I was like, yeah, don't do that again. This isn't
yeah,
like,
I don't think I would keep hanging out with someone who was always late. I just
would. Is that a
and
warning?
I've said to a friend, no. And I've been late too, but like if someone's like 40 minutes late every or 30 minutes late every time we hang out, I'll just be like, well, that's okay.
I have friends. I have two friends who are 30 minutes late every single time. And now I've just, but they're such, also I feel like really late people are also sometimes the most interesting because they're literally just like a butterfly. Like, they're just like, oh, what's that? And then just going to do this for 30 minutes.
Yes.
Yes.
But
absolutely.
I now just tell them, half hour early. Oh, I say, meet me at 12:30 and I get there at 1 and then they get there like 1:05.
I'll just be angry at them. I'll just be like, quietly resent them. And so I've said to a friend before that I really like that's late all the time, like, you make me feel bad about myself when you're this late. She's like, okay, don't do it anymore. And she's not ever late anymore.
That's a really nice way to say it, though.
That is
that's
a great way to say it.
Like, I'm not important enough for you.
Yeah.
But then if you're, you know, whatever, shit happens. I'm not like,
I don't do it. I hold it quietly in and then let it all out at once. I
like it. At a time where it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
That's you seem like an asshole.
That's the only argument I ever had with Pat Walsh was he was late to pick me up to go to the airport. Not pick me up. We were flying together. Mm-hmm. But he was late to get us to the airport. And I just, it like all came out on the way to the airport.
Oh, no.
And it's like, becomes like this deposition where I'm like, on March 31st, you were 25 minutes late. Oh, no, 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 no. I stood in front of the Vista movie theater waiting for you. We almost missed the opening credits.
Oh. Like,
well, I was in that too.
Well, you bailed on that.
I bailed entirely like 3 minutes before the movie started.
Yeah.
Really?
Karen was 20 minutes late and then texted and said, hey, I'm not going to make it. And
real asshole.
That came up. He brought that up to like defend himself.
Oh, wow.
He's like, oh, Karen was like, you're yelling at her. It's like, she had the decency to cancel. Just fucking cancel.
You know what I think it is too? I find as you get older, it's like not everybody has the same boundaries. Not everybody has the same irritations. Mm-hmm. And I, like in seeing it in your face where it was just a little bit of like, I was like, oh, I don't, this is only fun. So why make it less fun or anything that's like.
I didn't mean to shame you at all.
No, I know.
I think I can't help being like, oh, well, I had a book. It's okay. I had a book with me. It's fine.
But sometimes those things too that are just, you know, misunderstandings.
Yeah.
Did everybody see Kurt just burp and blow it out the side? Because that's how he does it.
Oh, yeah, I do that too.
It's pretty gross.
I think it's me being very respectful.
It was polite.
It's
watching you exhale the burp like you're smoking a corncob pipe is disgusting.
Oh, no.
I'd rather you just burp. That's just me.
I'd rather you smoke a corncob pipe, but we all have different preferences.
It's sometimes a misunderstanding because I can't remember if this was something we talked about on the episode we lost that didn't turn out or whatever. But anyway, we had a thing where our hangouts would end weirdly, and I would get
this is, and also by the way, as we're telling you guys all of the things we've talked about, I more and more realize they're all my fault.
No,
like everything is something that I do.
Joe's honeydew list of what you need to improve.
No, this one's me.
Well, because I'm the one who just leaves abruptly.
Yeah, but
you do that.
I leave abruptly.
You totally do.
Because what I do is, as I explained to him, is when I'm in a hangout, like at a certain point in the night, I start thinking about what I have to do tomorrow, and then I'm like, okay, I have to leave, and I make that decision 20 minutes before I leave. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like it's a long time coming, but I have not shared that information with anyone. So all of a sudden, I just go, okay, okay, I gotta go. And I hug everybody real quick and I walk out.
I don't even hug people. Yeah. My favorite thing is just fucking
Irish
leaving.
Goodbye.
Well, only because the procedure of going through and I'll text you and this and that and the touch and the petting, where it's just like, I'm going to see you very soon.
Right.
You know, and also just like, bye. I don't know. I get that thing where it's just like.
And Joe gets really bummed when you leave a thing.
And that's what he
That's what I was getting upset because I was like, you know, we have these goddamn talks and we drink and then he just fucking leaves. I was like, what is wrong with him? But, you know, but that's me. That's not you. That's me making shit up in my head and internalizing things and making it about me selfishly.
So ideally, when someone goes to leave, they just come and hold your face for like 10 seconds before they leave the building?
Here's, in my defense, because I've never given you shit for ghosting. I always get bummed. You and Vince will ghost sometimes.
Uh-huh, like, totally.
That's ghosting, right?
Isn't ghosting leaving a person's life entirely?
Oh, is that what that is?
It's just an Irish goodbye.
Yeah, so Irish goodbye. I'm sorry, I wanted to make it not racist.
It's not racist. Yeah. Maybe xenophobic, but not racist.
I think it's accurate.
You and Vince will do that. I have a lot of, Pat will do that. I have a lot of friends that will just kind of split. And
well, if
like,
I smoke
where
pot,
are you?
I get real weird and I'm like, I can't talk. And
oh, I can't talk at all.
Sure. Yeah. Run away.
Yeah.
So, I never, but I've never given really, I don't think any of you any shit about it because I'm like, all right, whatever. But Kurt and I would have these talks and then, and he'd bond about shit. And then he'd be like, I gotta go, buddy. Bye.
Oh,
and I'd be like,
God.
Wait, I thought we were hanging, man. And he's like, I gotta go. And so I felt like the asshole in that situation because the way it was coming across to Kurt was that I was, and I know I do this with people, I always want
to be forever.
Yeah, my friend Dan Soder put it best once. He goes, you want every night to be New Year's Eve. And I do.
Think there's anything wrong with that. I mean,
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you feel when you have nothing at home to return to.
Well, the two of you need to find a common ground where Kurt acknowledges that you need a little more than the later days, and you need to understand that Kurt needs to sometimes just quit a conversation.
So he's done it. He's done it. He's now, like, we've now tried this out.
Oh.
I'd be like, I gotta go, and he'd be like,
aw.
All right, buddy.
It's a check-in.
He'll check
in. Yeah.
Can I leave you at this moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a smooth cut.
Great.
We had a clean break the other night.
Yep.
We're at the Virgil hanging out. You ran off without even taking the tacos I bought for you.
Oh.
Then that he did want to get away from you. I would take that personally for sure.
My Uber was there. I had to get in the Uber.
He ordered me to buy him tacos at the window.
Oh my God.
And then his Uber showed up and he started running. And I go, where are you going? I have your tacos. And he just goes, you eat them. And I did. I ate
weren't
nine
they very good?
Tacos.
Oh, Lengua tacos are
pretty good. I feel like we could be best friends. I think all of our systems are completely.
See? Another pairing
it's
is
happening
right now.
Again.
Another pairing.
Well, the other reason I thought it was a good idea to have you guys as guests was personally for me, I feel like I have a developing friendship with both of you too. So I feel like it's interesting to hear how you two interact with one another and see how that applies or relates to the way I interact with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
interesting.
Because you and I have had arguments.
Yeah.
You too?
But
yeah.
Oh,
what have your
God.
Arguments been about?
Yeah.
Totally. Well, at work they started.
Yeah.
I mean, we got very good training when we worked together because I was essentially Joe's boss.
You were my boss.
I mean, but it was also as a boss, I've never been argued with so much. was kind of my point. But
I got
but
you.
I
oh,
think
I got
your
you.
Insistence upon like needing to kind of argue for your side or restate your point over and over again or whatever, it actually made me really good because I can be very reactive and use anger as like trying to shut things down when I can't think I can't handle it. And when I worked with Joe, it was just this constant thing of like, well, yeah, why am I saying that? I need to be able to like put up or shut up. If he feels so strongly about this point, why would I negate it? Is it a power move or are we trying to make the best monologue possible here? So there was a lot of like, I really enjoyed it. And there'd be a couple times where we would get a little heated and then you'd be like, I'm not being disrespectful and I'm not. And every time I'd be like, dude, I love this. I'm like,
we got on pretty well from the jump. Cause I knew who you were before you knew who I was. And I was already a fan. And we got along because we came. It was, you were one of the first people I met out here that was like East Coast, like, you know, I know you're from the East Coast, but you know what I mean? Like, you just had that attitude of like, I was like, oh, this is like a person who doesn't like take any shit, and like, I can be honest with them, and everything isn't precious, and you know what I mean? So,
or anything really.
Yeah, so we related like that. And also, I learned a lot from you because you weren't afraid to tell me to shut up and whatever, which I needed. I really needed it a lot back then, and I need it now. But, like, you know, that was good. Like, I remember those times I'd keep saying something or belaboring a point, and you'd be like, we've moved past it. And and then I'd die in the inside.
Tiny deaths always in the writing room.
But I was like, all right, she's right. Like, why do I keep, like, bringing up this point? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if it's not happening, it's not happening.
Yeah. I feel like you're good to argue with Joe because you'll never, like, hate the person no matter what they say. If you know that they have good intentions.
Yeah. No, I would never hate somebody in an argument. I mean, I don't know what it would take to make me actually...
But you like the fight.
Yeah.
For sure.
I do, and I...
You love conflict, weirdly.
And I'm terrified of it also.
Yes.
Like, so it's a very odd thing. But I've really, in the last around this Thanksgiving period that we were talking about, which was after the job ended... I'd say from that period on has been a very, very focused, like, on trying to not do that anymore, you know? So I don't think we've argued much, you and
no,
I.
No, no. I think the only thing, here's my favorite thing about Joe DeRosa, is the one thing that's left over from, like, my partying 20s is the day after a party, Joe and I call each other to do party recap. And it's my favorite thing, and no one does it anymore. It's as if it's from 1945. We'll get on the horn at 10 a.m. and just be like, so this and this and this and this. It's my favorite, and it's so funny that it's you, but that we'll have, and in that then we'll have, like, philosophical conversations about, you know, what if someone's pissing you off, or if so, something I don't like, or whatever, and we'll kind of like try to work things out of like how to make it slightly easier to live and be in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And I
love that idea. I think that's such a great idea.
It's a lot of fun, and I don't think either of us ever do it with the intention of, okay, now what are we going to discuss today? What, you know, what weird, you know, dilemma. It just always spins off into it, and we always hang up being like, oh, I like learned today about myself, about you, about people. And I like too that you, like, Karen's great because she'll call you on your shit. You know, because I told you a story recently where I said, I really upset somebody at a party. I'm a little worried about it. And you were like, well, what did you do? And I told her this joke I made to somebody. And she was like, you can't make any joke you want, then also be upset if the person's offended, you fucking idiot. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, it's just like, yeah, like it's like you're a good person to hear that. Or to give that, I should say, you know, which helps, you know.
Yeah.
You know, do you have people like that in your life?
Who give me shit and are honest with me? I don't think so. Oh, Lauren. Lauren does. My wife does, sure. Yeah.
But you're also...
Oh, actually, no, I have old friends. I have old friends who I can't get anything past. Who even before I've done it, they're going to be like, you're about to do this. Don't do that.
You're also, though, not a guy... I feel like you're a very different personality than me, obviously. You're not a guy that... I don't think you need to be called on shit as frequently as I do.
Everybody needs to be called on shit. Do you know what I mean? Because you just have patterns, and the patterns are... If you haven't examined the patterns that are always happening, then I think that that's it's a problem no matter what.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, but I don't know. You don't seem like a good... You're a very courteous person.
Let's go all around the table, and we'll say one thing that we think is a problem with ourselves.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay,
so let's think. I am I'm very controlling. Okay. That's what I was thinking about that when we were talking about how we deal with people who are late. Like, my decision is just to control when they show up by telling them 30 minutes earlier and then me not showing up until then. Like, that's my answer to it. It's like, well, now it's controlled by me. And I think I think I have a tendency to just like try take over too much or be bossy, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's next? Me?
Everyone's you can go next.
I don't know. I want to say something that doesn't sound like, I'm too perfect.
I think I already know the problem right now.
I think that... I want to say that I'm just like really negative to myself, and but that sounds like I'm too perfect. But
no, that's a total thing.
You know?
Yeah, like
thinking
beating yourself
that I'm
up.
A piece of shit constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that I have to then have Vince be like, you do this, you do that. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right.
And also that, I think that feeling manifests itself in so many different ways in your life. Because when you think you're a piece of shit, then you're like, well, then that person did that because I'm a piece of shit. And then I'm going to react to them in a way that they think I'm just being an asshole to them.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll take it.
What about you?
Karen.
I have a bit of that, but it made me think of in the last time we had a marathon lunch, something you were talking about this incessant obsession to not be made a fool of.
Oh, yeah.
And that is my thing, which is so insane that I'm a stand-up comic and like half-assed actor or whatever, where it's like, there's nothing in this town that doesn't make a fool of you, no matter, you know, how perfect or whatever you are. But it is that thing. My reaction to that is if I think I'm in that realm.
Where someone's just making a fool of you?
Or just thinks I'm gross or thinks I'm weird or thinks any kind of negative judgment. I just shut down. I will just go away. So it's almost like a larger version of Irish goodbye, where it's kind of like just removal and kind of there's an actual therapy word for it, but it's just like isolating, essentially.
And you're always overlooking for points that people think that about you, even though it's not true. You're like always searching for like, is this person making embarrassing? Like, am I embarrassing myself? Am I doing this? And you're not. And so you're just always aware of it.
Yeah.
That's the worst feeling.
It's like the perfect quote from my therapist was, you're very good at telling yourself scary stories.
Ooh.
I was just like, ooh, yeah, that's it. That's actually it in a nutshell of like, I can take this situation today and walk away and just be like, yeah, I was definitely the worst one there. Or whatever, you know, I lost.
Nightmare last night about this entire conversation.
Really?
Yes.
What was the nightmare?
That I would not shut up. I had smoked pot and so I wouldn't stop talking. And I remember in my dream going, make sure you don't do that tomorrow.
You knew
you were dreaming. Yeah, totally.
That's hilarious.
When I sent her the email, I was like, I had to rewrite it four times because I was like, do you want to come and be my friend on the friendship podcast or whatever? That's how I was going to send it. But then it was like, I had to reword it. So it'd be like, if she read this and was like, ew, you're not my actual friend like that. Like, I had to make sure it didn't sound.
Not too needy.
Yes, not too needy and not too, like, definitive, so that I could actually be like, no, that's not what I was talking about.
Yeah. Hey, because you're my only best friend. Do you want to be on the... And I wrote back, like, thank you for being vulnerable. I was vulnerable. Like, I'm going to be vulnerable and say, thank you. I am so excited and that means so much to me. Like, yeah. It totally was...
I'm happy that this is, like, a little milestone marker in your friendship.
Yeah.
Because it is actually new enough, like, in the argument question, it is new enough where I don't think we've even gotten into any situation where we could. I mean, it's that... It is that new.
Totally. And I think talking about it reinforces it as a thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think us talking about our friendship has made us stronger friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you know you can.
And when is your podcast come out and where can we find it?
I want to hear Joe's worst thing.
Oh,
about
I thought
himself.
We already like got all of Joe's stuff.
Yeah, we got it this whole episode.
I have been very insecure throughout the conversation that I'm talking about myself too much.
No.
I keep going, stop talking about yourself too much.
Oh, that's fine.
But that's not my fault. I know it.
Whose fault is it, Jeff?
It is a fault. It's a fault. That's not the big one I want to share. Well, I relate to everything everybody said, but I think it's definitely a control thing, but it goes greater than control it's broader than control for me, because it starts to seep into areas of like justice, where I feel like if somebody is not acting properly, if something shouldn't be happening, I have to persuade the powers that be to change it and to make it different. And if they don't, then the entire world is shit, and fuck everybody. And it's like,
I've seen you do
it's
that.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I won't name names, obviously, but there are certain people that have certain TV shows where if I see a trailer, I will lose my mind. Yeah. And I'll be like, this is bullshit. They're not a good person. They don't believe what they're saying right now. And it's insane. I'm like, why? And it's not good for me. It's not good for other people.
So anger, it's really anger.
It's good for us. It's so fun to watch you do that.
Well, and that's also expectation, because that's what I relate to so much. And it's so, when we talk to each other, I have this kind of like world weary, like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because when I first moved here, it was that thing of like, people get picked on talent, and because they're great, good, you know, people with this and that. And then it's like, you just get served up experience after experience where finally, after 10,000 times, I finally went, I don't know what I'm talking about. This business has no moral compass.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it does not work that way.
Right.
And I need to let it go, because nothing else is going to change.
Otherwise, you'll just drive yourself crazy.
Totally.
Yeah.
And what's this? And the injustice, really, if I just did a little work, that I wouldn't have all the time to worry about that, you know, that fight.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too, though. This directly relates to you. You helped me get past a part of that in myself, or be better about it, or whatever. But, you know, when I moved, and I was like, I had all these stipulations about where I was going to move, and Karen was like, you can't have everything. It's not going to be perfect. You just have to give up to that. And I was like, okay, because my big thing was noise, and I was terrified of noise, because I sleep light and all that stuff. And my apartment that I'm in now is the noisiest apartment I've ever, literally ever lived in. It is the nightmare scenario. And I'm fine. I'm just like, what are you going to do? Who gives a shit? You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah, just lower your standards. Yeah. Life is going to be horrible. I think that's what we've learned today.
Stop caring. Stop caring about things.
Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Where did you plug the podcast
yet? Yeah, plug it. Where is it?
It's on Feral Audio.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out Tuesdays or Wednesdays.
Okay.
Roughly.
Yeah, my favorite murder.
And
we have a Twitter, my favorite murder Twitter.
Oh yeah, my right. fave murder on
Check
Twitter.
Well, thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
it's
guys.
Fun.
Yay. Feral Audio.